Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just praise you for this opportunity to get your word of faith across, Lord. And we just ask that you bless the folks out there, bless me to get this message out, Lord. And we can't get too much word about faith, Lord. And we thank you for helping us out here and anointing us to get this word across in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, that's what I really want to talk about is faith and not hope. You know, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in the most worst time of your life, it'll turn your grief into resurrection glory. Praise be to God. You know, Jesus promised one of his heartbroken followers in John 11 and 40, he told him, he said, "If thou believest, thou shouldest see the glory of God." The condition was met, and what happened? Lazarus came out of the grave. He was raised from the dead, and he's able to do the same thing to turn your grief into joy today. It don't make any difference how dark or hopeless your situation. When you do what God requires, Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Folks, he will meet every need that you have. And the question I have is, does the enemy have you bound in chains? Does he have you locked in despair? And he parades your failings before you. Well, that's a good thing. This is the time to be robed up. Have you begged? Have you prayed and asked 1,000 times for God to move, but you haven't seen any change? Well, good, because now you can learn what real faith is. And if you'll believe, you'll see the glory of God. It's the promise of the Master, sealed by the Spirit. The pledge of the Almighty to every child of God. You know, your enemy justifies your failure. They'll tell you that God hadn't answered because there got to be sin in your heart, right? But your Father will justify your faith. He'll tell you, "Child, I've paid for your sins. You're blameless in my sight. Everyone who asks receives. And your only thing that you have to do is believe." So who are you going to trust? Jesus Christ is with you at this moment to restore the kingdom, to deliver, to heal, and bind up that broken heart. So we need to turn to the one who raises the dead, who cures AIDS and cancer with a word and calls things that are not as though they were. He has all power to fix your immediate problem instantly. Matthew 28:18 says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." Luke 1:37, King James says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Jesus said, "The things which are impossible with man are possible with God," in Luke 18:27. All we have to do is meet these two conditions. In Mark 1:15, "Repent ye and believe the gospel," glory to God. Matthew 9:29 says, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." It's the word of God, folks. And you won't see God's glory until you believe. And you're not going to release his power unless you have God's peace. And you'll never have peace without trusting in God's grace. Grace is unmerited favor. And grace is the only way God will ever let you have peace. You can't ever deserve it. You just accept it as his gift to you. And don't try to pay for it. Some people tell you, say, "Yes, I believe God can fix my problem, but it is up to him if he does." No, it ain't. Today, he says, is the day of salvation. What God has done for others, he wants to do for you. All we have to do is believe and let him. And your unbelief and doubt block God from blessing you, because salvation comes on no other ground than that of faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us. He defeated Satan once and for all, and he provided perfect redemption for whoever will believe. He bore your sorrows and carried your diseases so you can have his joy and his health right now. He assumed your guilt to declare you innocent, and he suffered your punishment so he could forgive you. He paid your debt to set you free. He took your sins and offers his righteousness. Repent and believe what the gospel says. And when you trust wholeheartedly in Christ's redemption, you'll have God's peace. And when you have his peace, faith in his power comes supernaturally as you get into his word. And when you put your faith in God's word into action, you're going to see God's glory. All we have to do is just believe. And you got some out there say, oh man, that's too simple. My problem is difficult and complicated. Well, might be. But the solution is just the same. Only believe and Jesus will fix it. Some want to wait. They want to beg. They want to do a whole bunch of religious stuff to receive from God. That ain't God's way. The two blind men didn't wait when they called on Jesus. They received their sight instantly. Matthew 9:27-31. And as Jesus passed by from thence, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, have mercy on us, thou son of David. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it done unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus strictly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they went forth and spread abroad his fame in all that land. You know, you don't have to wait, beg, or crawl. All you have to do is just believe. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it says in Hebrews 13:8. And so we need to prove God's word by acting on it. There's some of you out there saying that you know God's word is good, but you'll never really know God's word is good until you have acted on it and have reaped the results of it. And that's what faith is. Faith is proving God's word by acting on it. Faith is giving substance to the things hoped for. God's word said that God is the strength of my life. You see, a lot of folks just hope, and they stop right there. But folks, hope is not faith. And hope won't bring substance. Only faith will. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope doesn't have any substance. But faith gives substance to hope. Someone might say, well, I hope God heard my prayer. Well, if that's all you're doing is hoping, you ain't going to receive an answer to you to what you're praying, because it's faith that moves God, not hope. Hope isn't what causes God to hear your prayer. Faith is. And if you're only hoping, there's not going to be any answers to your prayers. That's just that simple. But your faith can give substance to your hope. In fact, faith will give answers to your prayers. Remember, hope says, I'll have the answer to my petition sometime. But faith says, I have the answer to my petition right now. John Wesley said that the devil has given the church a substitute for faith that looks and sounds so much like faith, many people can't tell the difference. And he called it mental assent. For example, lots of people out there see what God's word says and they agree mentally that God's word is true, but they are just agreeing with their minds. But mental agreement with the word is not what gets the job done. It's the heart faith that receives from God. And that's why the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth, in Romans 10:10. Jesus talked about believing with the heart in Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. He's talking about believing in your heart. And if you'll notice that the Bible never said one word about doubting in one's head. You can have doubt in your head and still have faith in your heart. But it's believing in your heart that's going to cause you to receive from God. And people might ask, how can I tell whether I have faith in my heart or whether I'm just believing mentally in my head? Well, you can tell because mental agreement or mental assent says, I know God's word is true. I know God promises me healing and the answer to my prayer or whatever it is you need. But for some reason, I can't get it. I can't understand it. Why then don't I have the answer to my petition? And folks that say that are just in mental assent. They're not in real Bible faith or heart faith. Faith or real faith in God's word says, if God's word says it's so, then it's so. The promise is mine. I got it now. And faith always says, I have it even though I can't see it. Now, notice what the text said. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Someone said, well, yeah, but the thing that I've been praying about, I don't see it. It hadn't come to pass yet. But if you already had it, you wouldn't have to believe it. You would know it then. In order to come to that place of knowing, you have to take that step of believing without seeing, based only on your faith in the integrity of God's word. Too many people want to know it first and then believe it. That is, they want to know it from the natural standpoint of having it come to pass first. However, we know we have received what the word tells us is ours because God's word says that it's ours. And when we believe God's word without seeing anything manifested in the natural realm, then what we're believing God for materializes. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore, I say unto you all things whatsoever, what does that leave out? Nothing. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have them. Now, if you'll notice that the having comes after the believing. Most folks want to turn that around and have first and then believe. But never, in the very common everyday language, Jesus was saying that you have to believe you have your petition before you get it. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been able to receive healing for my body without first believing that I had received my healing, even when every symptom in my body was crying out, you ain't got your healing, you're not healed. And I would just simply say to my flesh, well, here's what the word of God says. Let God be true and every man a liar in Romans 3:4. So if you say I'm not healed, you're a liar because God's word says I am. Now you get on out of here. And that's when I act in faith on God's word instead of acting on what I feel. And results always are come after that. It works 100 times out of 100. But if you're going to sit around and groan and sigh and gripe and complain and wait for something to come to you, you ain't never going to get very far in faith. And that's real Bible faith. You need to believe what the Bible says and not what your senses tell you. And if you're going to wait around until you detect that every symptom has gone and your flesh corresponds with your faith and everything is fine before you're going to start believing God, then you're all out of order and you're out of line with the Word of God. And you ain't never going to get very far in faith. You see, the trouble is that so many people are like, just like old Doubting Thomas. Thomas said in John 20:25, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Then when Jesus appeared to the disciples and Thomas saw Jesus, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Did Jesus praise Thomas for his lack of faith? No. Jesus said this. He said, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." John 20:29. In other words, Thomas didn't believe in Jesus' resurrection by faith as you and I believe in it. Thomas believed because he saw Jesus with his physical eyes. He relied totally on his natural senses. But we believe in Jesus' resurrection because the Word of God says Jesus was raised from the dead. And that's where most people miss it in the area of faith without realizing it. They say, "I believe in divine healing because so-and-so got healed." Well, that's not Bible faith. I don't believe in healing because I saw somebody got healed. I believe in healing because the Word of God says healing belongs to me. It says it in Isaiah 53:4-5, Matthew 8:17, 1 Peter 2:24. I don't believe in speaking in tongues just because some people speak in tongues. No, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues because the Word of God teaches it. I would still believe in it even if I had never heard anybody else speak in tongues. Because I believe what the Bible says, not what I see and hear. My faith is not to be in what I can see and hear. My faith is based on what God says. Because you see, when we develop our faith to the place where we believe what the Word says, regardless of circumstances and physical symptoms, then we're believing the right thing. And that's what brings results with God. Thomas said, "I'll not believe until I see." And Jesus said, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Those who believe what the Word of God says, apart from what they see or feel with their physical senses, are the ones who are blessed. Romans 4:17-21 says this, "As it is written, a father of many nations have I made thee, before whom he believed, even God, who giveth life to the dead, and calls the things that are not as though they were, who in hope believed against hope, to the end that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall thy seed be. And without being weakened in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead, he being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Now, notice the difference between Abraham's faith and Thomas's faith. Thomas's faith was just simply a natural human faith. He said, "I ain't going to believe unless I can see and feel." But the Word of God says that Abraham believed God's Word and he considered not his own body. In other words, he didn't consider his old wore out body. But if Abraham didn't consider his own body, that means he didn't consider physical sight or physical feeling. What did he consider? He considered the Word of God. He considered the promise of God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Romans 4:2-21. I'm going to give you here's a good illustration of faith in action. Faith in hope and then faith in action. This is a woman, Gertrude Tyser, and I think it's on the site, but it may not be, I don't know, healed of multiple sclerosis. And it starts out, said, "I want to tell you about a miracle. And this miracle happened to me. How? By one prayer, after I had the correct instructions about divine healing. Everything that we receive from God comes through His grace by faith. I had multiple sclerosis for more than 15 years. I couldn't walk around without stumbling and falling. Many times I was in a wheelchair. I often broke my bones, but I firmly believed that the Lord was going to heal me. And if there is no cure for the illness, humanly speaking, it don't make any difference. Healing comes from God. There's nothing impossible with Him, it says in Luke 1:37. Now, my church did not teach divine healing, but my Bible does, she says. So if your church does not teach you about divine healing, your Bible teaches it. Isaiah 53:5 says, with His stripes we are healed. And Isaiah 59:1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, He can hear your prayer right now. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Did you ever have a scripture become alive to you? This was the first one that became alive to me. When I read Hebrews 13:8, I knew that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then I read about Moses. Moses said to God, behold, I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what's His name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Well, that puts those words right there put God right in the present. He's never existed in the past. He's always the God of today. And then she goes on and says, then I also read in Acts 10:34 that God is no respecter of persons. Then I said to the God, Lord, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, there is no respect of person by His stripes we were healed, then this is for me. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We receive a measure of faith when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But if we want that faith to increase, this has to come through the word of God. Well, I became more and more paralyzed. One doctor told me that the day would come when I would be completely blind, and it was. The optic nerves were paralyzed, leaving me completely blind. Then one day they told me not to stay alone, for before the next 24 hours would go by, I would be completely paralyzed. And so it was. The ambulance came. They took me to the hospital. But on the way, I said to the boys that took me, you forgot something. And they answered, what did we forget, Gertrude? I said, you didn't bring my shoes. Oh, they said, what in the world is a paralyzed person going to do with shoes? You can't use them. You won't need them. I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to need these shoes. And one of these days, the Lord is going to heal me, and I'll need those shoes to get out of the hospital. And I believe with all my heart that God was going to heal me. But I did not know how to appropriate my healing. Many people came to pray for me. And I firmly believe that all the prayers that were said by my family and friends in my behalf were heard by God. When we pray in faith for someone, God hears and considers that prayer. Perhaps the answer is obeyed or delayed, but it's never denied. While I was in the hospital, I had 3 heart attacks and 1 stroke. Every time they would put me under an oxygen tent, and I would think, there's room for 2, Jesus and I. The nurse would come and say, don't say a word, you must not waste your breath. One does not have to speak in a loud voice to Jesus. I would pray and feel His presence, and I knew the answer was on the way. And this was my prayer. Oh, Lord, make me whole again. Don't just make me better, but make me entirely whole again. I remembered how Jesus had asked the impotent man, will thou be made whole? And I answered that question, yes, Lord, make me entirely whole again. Now, the Lord had to deal with me concerning many things. I had worked in the church for 25 years and thought I was doing pretty good, but the Lord thought otherwise. One day He said to me, do you love your neighbor like yourself? All the time in all of them? And I answered, no, Lord. How can I when some I don't even like? He taught me how to love them through the love of Jesus Christ. Yes, you can love your neighbor through the love of Jesus Christ. He dwells in us and we in him. So it is possible to love others such as he loves them. And the Lord also dealt with me concerning doubt, fear, and unbelief. Things that I never considered as sins. For 3 months, he taught me about those things that were within me that were not according to his holy will. I finally became completely paralyzed so that I could not do one thing except talk to Jesus. And I knew that the Lord was with me, and when we know he is with us, we can stand all the disappointments in life. One day, they covered me up with a sheet, for they thought I was gone. Now, I could move one hand, so when they saw that move, they came and took the sheet off. And I was always asking those that came to visit me to bring my shoes. Nobody responded, for everyone thought I wouldn't need clothes or shoes. And it wasn't their fault. They didn't know Christ as their healer. And I'd say to them, bring me some shoes, for when the Lord heals me, I'm going to need them. One day, the head doctor came to see me and said, Gertrude, I'd like to know your attitude about yourself. The night before I had suffered much thirst, as spasms produce thirst, and they would not give me water at night for fear that I would swallow my tongue. Now came the question, I want to know your attitude about yourself. And I asked him if he wanted an honest answer, if he wanted me to joke. He said he wanted an honest answer, so I answered. I do not see myself lying here less than a human being. Well, he said, how do you see yourself? I said, I see myself walking with shoes on. Oh, he said, I'm sorry I ever asked you that question. That will never be. You will never be different from what you are now. So I answered, according to you, I will never be different, but you have not considered my Lord. One of these days he's going to heal me and I'll walk with shoes on. And his answer was, oh, that's just your imagination. He thought that for he did not believe the Bible. But I know that God gave me a faith vision concerning myself walking, just like he gave Abraham a vision when he was to go into a far country. Now, I was tired of being in that room in the hospital. And one day I asked the nurses if they would take me outside and put me under a tree. For I knew there were trees out in the yard, having been in this hospital many times before when I was in a wheelchair. When they called for the head nurse, she said, Gertrude, do you realize that if we were to take you outside, we'd have to have enough men to carry you, bed and all? Don't you think this is unreasonable? Yes, I answered, and I withdrew my request. One day, a woman came into my room, Beatrice by name, and asked me, do you believe that God can heal you, and do you want me to pray? I answered yes to both questions, and she said a short prayer and left. And as she was leaving the room, an audible voice said to me, I sent this woman to you. Well, I was frantic, for I had no way of knowing what the woman looked like, for I was blind. So I called on the person in the next bed and asked him to call this woman. And when she was by my bed, I said to her, God spoke to me and said that he sent you to me. And Beatrice said, I am so glad you called me back. I was in my home in Maryland when God spoke to me and asked me to come to Las Vegas, Nevada, and visit all the incurable wards and ask people if they wanted me to pray for them. And he added that one day a woman would say to me that God sent me to her. Now, I was getting tired of getting cold shoulders. I went around asking, do you believe God can heal you, or do you want me to pray? Oh, I am so happy that Beatrice obeyed God and traveled from one end of the country to the other to do his will. Once she knew who she was to pray for, she started to fast without food and without water. And in spite of the terrible heat, she obeyed our Lord. Every evening she would come to the hospital to pray for me. and every day I was worse. She found me on July 1st, and three nights after that, on July 4th, she was told that my grandson, who lived in this same city, had been called and asked to make arrangements to take care of my body. When she got to my bedside, she asked, "Do you still believe that God can heal you?" My answer was yes. Then she asked, excuse me. Then she asked, "Even now?" Again, my affirmative answer. This time she asked, "Do you realize that this is the last opportunity? It has to be now or never." And my answer was, "Yes, I know this." And Beatrice then said, "If I bring you a glass of cold water and place it here beside your bed, do you believe that if you would drink it, it would quench the terrible thirst you have?" "Oh," I said, "that is easy to believe." And she said, "Now, if I bring the glass of cold water and place it here by your bed, but you do not drink it, you would still believe that it would quench your thirst, but you would still be thirsty because you didn't drink the water, though you believe." And that's what you're doing with healing. You believe that God can heal you, but there's no contact of faith. It is necessary that you accept your healing in a definite way, even as you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. There are many sinners who believe that Jesus died for their sins and was resurrected from the dead, but they remain sinners because they don't accept salvation for themselves. And that's what you're doing with healing. You believe that God can heal you, but it is necessary that you take this healing right now. That is true faith. Well, you know, God knows the intentions of our heart. He knows our spiritual condition. He knows our spiritual stature. And he knows if we truly believe in his greatness and power. Beatrice told me to raise my hands and pray. I lifted my heart to God and raised my one finger that I could move and said to the Lord, "Lord, I take my healing this moment. I take it like water. I accept it. I believe, but I am afraid." And of a truth, there's no room for fear. Fear indicates unbelief. And I said to God, "I am afraid that you will ask of me something that I am unable to do. I fear that I am not capable of fulfilling that which you would ask of me." And then the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice and said, "Go and say that God healed you. Go to those that believe in divine healing, and go to those who do not believe, those who mock and scorn, and tell them that God healed you." I then answered and said, "Yes, Lord, I will go." And it was at this point that I saw Jesus standing by the side of my bed. And when I saw Jesus, I could see the entire room. Jesus had restored my sight. I must say here that when I say I saw Jesus, I saw all except his face, which was but a very bright light. Then the Lord touched me with the tips of his fingers and healed me completely. And many have asked, "What'd you feel?" Well, I'll tell you what I felt. Fire started to go from my head all through my body, and my body had been like ice. The divine heat circulated all through my body, and I started to feel my bones crack, for my muscles were like cement. My hands and feet were all twisted. My body was a big arch, my head and feet touching the bed, but the rest of my body in the air. My bones ached as the Lord was straightening them, but it did not matter about the pain, for my eyes were on Jesus. And when you got your eyes on Jesus, pain does not matter. He told me many things that night. He ordered me to stay in the hospital 3 days and three nights, that I might testify to all that God had healed me and speak about salvation in him. Jesus said to me, "I am not returning you to your old life. You cannot live your own life anymore. I am loaning your life to you that you might testify about me. I'll take care of you. So I know I am living on borrowed time, but that don't matter. The important thing is that I obey him." And a lot of people have asked me, "What did you say to Jesus?" Well, I'll tell you, when one is in the presence of the Lord, you don't say anything to him. You listen to what he has to say, and you'll hear it with every fiber of your body, and you'll never forget it. And for a while after Jesus left, I didn't get up. I had a bit of fear of saying that God had healed me. I was not prepared to tell them, and they were not prepared to hear me. Of a truth, the city of Las Vegas was not prepared to see the evidence of God. And someone had finally brought me a pair of shoes, so I got up, put them on. Afterwards, they asked me if it was difficult to walk, since I had not walked for such a long time. I said, oh no, it was not difficult to stay on the floor under the powerful anointing of God. I felt like I could float, and for 2 weeks, I felt like I was walking on my tiptoes. I walked out in the hall, and one of the patients who saw me raised his hands and said, glory to God, look what the Lord has done for Gertrude. And there were people in the hall, and as they would see me, they would fall on their knees and start to pray. They were calling on God upon seeing the evidence of someone who had been completely paralyzed, now walking. And I walked into the nurse's room. And I didn't mean to hurt them, but two of them passed out when they saw my face. They had to carry them out on stretchers. Later, they told me that my face had been discolored and bags of water were under my eyes. But when the Lord healed me, he wiped it all off and gave me a natural face. Glory to God. One of the head nurses came. She went into hysterics and said, Gertrude, you can't be here because you can't sit and you can't walk. And I have signed the last papers on you. You can't see and you can't stay here. Then I said to her, oh, yes, I can be here. I'm just like you. Look at my hand. God has healed me. They are not the hands of a paralytic person. I am just like you. And then she said to me, I know that you can't be alive. This is not you that is here. Tell me, how many people helped you down the hall? I said, just one. And she said, please tell us who it was. I said, it was Jesus Christ. They called the superintendent of the hospital. He had known me for years. I had been in and out of this hospital many times, and he knew my condition. Now he said, Gertrude, I am an unbeliever. But now that the Lord has come and worked a miracle in this old hospital has rocked on its heels. Ever since Jesus came to heal you, no one has worked in this part of the hospital. But that doesn't matter. Look what the Lord has done. Here was an unbeliever admitting that Jesus had worked a miracle. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Yes, it was a miracle, for it had been a healing. I would have had to learn to walk. God left many signs for him. One was the sign of the bed. People would come and touch the bed and it would give them a shock. And then I understood that when Jesus came and anointed me for healing, he anointed the bed also and left it for a sign for the unbelievers. The next morning they came to doctor a bed sore. I asked them, did you come to doctor me? They said, this is duty. I told them, go ahead. And what a surprise when they found the place just like the palm of my hand. They exclaimed, this truly is a miracle. For the flesh had flaked away so that we could see the bone, and it doesn't heal up like this. Praise God for his perfect work and signs for the unbelievers. Hallelujah! This did not take place in a corner, but in a public place so that people could see the manifestation of the power of God. And I told the director of the hospital that I would only be there for 3 days and three nights. But he answered, oh no, you have to stay 30 days for observation. I said, it is impossible, for Jesus told me to stay for only 3 days and three nights. And when it came time to sign the final papers, the phone rang and the nurse said to the director, it is your chief of staff. He answered, he said, lay that phone down, for if I take that call, the time will be past when Jesus Christ said Gertrude should go, and I don't want that on me. Oh yes, they obeyed what the Lord had said. Another thing they had noticed was the change in my handwriting. Some said that I was not the same person. So I said to them, I know you have a psychiatrist here in this hospital. Bring him here. He came, and I said to him, take me to your part of the hospital. Ask me any questions you want to, for I am still me. Jesus came and made me whole. The psychiatrist looked at me for a while and then said, oh, no, I will not examine you, for the one who performed the healing will give you the answers, and I'll be left there like a fool. Many things happened in those 3 days and nights that I was in the hospital. They called my grandson Tom and asked him to come to the hospital today or immediately. He is the one who had been asked to prepare to take care of my body. And I was walking down the hall when I saw him coming, and I called to him. I said, look, Tom, look what the Lord has done for me. He came and made me whole again. And someone said to me, Tom can't hear you. He's in complete shock. They worked on him for hours. And when he came to, he said, when I saw you walking is when I went into shock. I never saw you walking before. I remember the grandma who pulled one foot and scraped the other. I remember the one who held the walls. Why didn't they tell me that Jesus had healed you? I still wanted to go outside and see the trees. And I want to tell you this so that you'll see how easy it is to get out of the Lord's will. The Lord told me to stay in the hospital 3 days and three nights. He didn't say anything about going outside. But I still wanted to know what it would be like to breathe the fresh air. I went outside and stood under one of the trees thinking, this is just like I thought it would be, wonderful to see the trees and partake of the fresh air. Just then, one of the nurses tapped me on the shoulder and said, what are you doing here? Don't you know that the halls are full of people wanting to know if you can really walk? And when I heard this, I knew that I had gone outside thinking only of myself, and that I was outside of the will of God. Jesus wanted me to testify to the people. As I stepped back into the hospital, I saw a black man sitting in a wheelchair. As I got near him, he asked, aren't you the woman that they used to bring to this hospital tied to a wheelchair so she would not fall? I answered, yes, I am she. He asked, aren't you the woman that used to fall out of bed with spasms? I said, yes, I am she. Again he asked, are you not the woman who was blind? Yes, I answered, I am she. He said, tell me about your Jesus, for I do not know him. Oh, what a blessing it is to be in the will of God and be able to guide a soul to Jesus. One day I was walking down the hall, praising God, when I saw a man on a stretcher at the door of the operating room. He was ready to be wheeled into the operating room to be operated on. He had witnessed my paralytic condition. And when he saw me walking and praising God, he said, if God can heal Gertrude, he can heal me too. And he wrapped the sheet around him, got off the stretcher and went to his room, got dressed and walked out of the hospital. Praise God. 2 years later, I met that man on the street and asked him if he had signed his dismissal papers. And he said, no. Because Jesus Christ had dismissed him and he did not have to sign any papers. Then I asked him if he ever had that operation. He said, no, I didn't need it. The Lord knew that he was going to accept divine healing at the last moment. So he saw to it that the spinal that they gave him did not take effect. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Those 3 days in the hospital, I witnessed what is written in Mark 2 and 2. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. The people filled the halls day and night, even staying until 2 o'clock in the morning, for they wanted to see the evidence of God. And in closing, I want to tell you about Mr. Martin. He was in charge of us 8 hours a day. And when Jesus came to heal me, he had his day off. So the following day, the Lord said, go to Mr. Martin. So I went to Mr. Martin. I said, Mr. Martin, look at me. Jesus came and made me whole again. He didn't turn. He had his back to me, but rather said, you go away, woman. And I went away. Again, the Lord said, go to Mr. Martin. So I went the second time to him and said, Mr. Martin, look at me. Jesus came and made me whole again. But Mr. Martin refused again, saying, you go away. I'm not going to look at you. Then I returned to the people standing in the hall, and the third time the Lord said, go to Mr. Martin. So I went, and this time I said, Mr. Martin, please look at me, for Jesus has said to me three times, go to Mr. Martin. And you know how far it is from my place with one hall going this way and one that way. So please look at me. Then Mr. Martin turned and said, yes, I'm going to look at you. When I had my day off was the time you were to have died. That is why I did not want to look at you when you came the first time. When you came the second time, I had heard rumors about a miracle healing. I am a good Catholic, and they do not teach me in my church that God can do miracles in my part of the hospital. Mr. Martin did not mind seeing a miracle, but he wanted it in a church. He wanted it in a cathedral. But God wanted it in a hospital so that many would hear the testimony and see the evidence of God. Mr. Martin said, when I turn around to see you, I will have to admit that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'll have to confess that he works miracles today, even in my section in the hospital. Mr. Martin has now returned to his country, Canada, but he has returned believing that Jesus Christ can do the same miracles that he did when here on this earth. Once Mr. Martin accepted my healing, he said, oh, let's do something. Let's call that woman who prayed for you. Let's do something. Yes, when we see the reality of God and know that he has visited us, we want to do something. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, amen to that. I have another testimony that I'd like to give that I saw with my eyes. We were in West Memphis, me and another guy, another evangelist, and we walked into a community center, and there was a lot of women there with their children. And we saw this one lady with her little son. He was probably 3 or 4 years old, but he had feet that were club feet, or they were real pigeon-toed looking. And we went over and asked her what was wrong with him, and she said, well, he was born like that, and the doctors are going to fix it, but they're going to have to break his ankles, reset his foot, and then wait until it heals. And then they're going to have to break it again and reset it in order to get them straight. And we asked her, said, do you believe God heals? She said, yes, I do. Would you like for us to pray for him? She said, yes. And we did. We prayed for him. We commanded those feet to straighten out in Jesus' name. And they did. And he took off running down out through the community center there. And his mama was just hollering praises to God. Glory to God. And that was awesome. And after that, that took place. Everybody in there that needed a healing got a healing. They saw God's miracle and believed. And you know what happened a little bit later was that she saw that little boy trying to revert back to walking like he did before. And she went over and snatched him up. And she said, don't you ever do that again. You walk straight like God healed you. And he straightened right back up, and there he went. And that's what happens sometimes. We get lax in our healing and allow it to try to come back on us. And that's why we have to be diligent to hold on to that healing. Praise God forever. I want to tell you one more, and then we'll close out. We were in North Little Rock one time. And we would just, back in those days, a couple of us would go out and go door to door and ask people if they wanted prayer. We went to this one house. This was in a lower part of the city, low part of the city. And there was this lady in there, I don't know, she's probably 45 years old. And she was bent over double. And we asked her if we couldn't pray for her. And she said, yeah, you can pray for me. And then we tried to help her, tried to grab hold of her and help her out on the, she wanted to come out on the porch. And she said, oh, don't put your hands on me. She said, every part of my body hurts. And she told us, she said that She had been to the doctors and spent all her money on doctors, and they finally sent her home and told her she couldn't be healed. They'd just go home and deal with it, you know. And what happened, we prayed for her. God healed her, straightened her up, healed her right then immediately. And she had two teenage daughters, and they were all just dancing in the front room and giving God the glory. And she was shouting all over that neighborhood. That lady was. Praise God forevermore. And she was healed. And we came back about maybe a month later to check up on her, see how she was doing. And she said she was still dancing with her two teenage daughters in the front room in there. But they were telling the people in the neighborhood about Jesus and what they did for her. And it was an awesome, awesome testimony to God's goodness on his people. So, folks, take this message and apply it to yourselves and believe the word of God for yourself. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just praise you for the faith that you have placed in all of us, Lord. You gave us that faith, Lord. All we have to do is hook into it and utilize it. And Father, we thank you for it and confess it with our mouth that we are healed. Whether we see it or feel it, doesn't make any difference. It's what the Word of God says. And place that in our heart, Lord, to believe with every fiber in us that we are healed, delivered, set free, whatever circumstance that it is. And Lord, we praise you and we glorify you for making believers and disciples out of your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing it for all the good folks out there, in Jesus' name. Well, all right, we're out of time. God bless you. We'll see you next time, God willing.